talking about how he was physically persecuted, and he could show you the scars where he was stoned, beaten. He was physically abused for Jesus Christ. And yet, he never gave up. So the rule in the first mission journey is expect opposition. And find out God's strength to stand until you overcome. Some of you may be in the middle of the standing. Some of you may be at the beginning of your standing. Some of you may never have stood before. But I hope this message encourages you to start standing. Because in the kingdom of God, there is no room for cowards. Only the brave will overcome. But not bravery in our own self or in our own strength. But you are brave because he died for you. And there is no price too great to pay to love him, to serve him, to do his will. To see that his promises come true in our life. Now, if you have that kind of determination, you're all ready to stand in your missionary journey for the Lord. That's the kind of soldiers that they produce in those days for the Lord. And the type of Christians we should be. So think about all your difficulties that you face in your life. The question is, don't ever think about giving up. Don't even think about letting go. Don't even think defeat. There's only one thing. Hear Martin Luther's cry. Here I stand. If I die, I die. Hear the voice of the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, before they went into Nebuchadnezzar's burning furnace. They says, we will stand. And you know what they said? Our God can save us. But if he so chooses not to, we still will not bow. Here we stand. If we die, we die. To his glory, still standing. When you have that kind of attitude, the devil is very frightened of you. The devil is afraid of you. And we are here to put the fear back into Satan. So that the next time Satan comes and wow, you go, huh, and he goes, zoom. Because the only people Satan is afraid of are those who are not afraid. Not afraid to die. Not afraid to stand. Until God comes through. Be like one of those mighty men of David. You hear stories of them in Chronicles. One of them stood his ground on a patch of beans. Everyone was running. But he stood his ground on a patch of beans and defended until the Bible says the sword cleaved to his hand. Until his hand and the sword were one. Think how much energy continued. Everybody was running except one. And he said that one man turned the battle. Praise the Lord. God is calling not for converts. He is calling for disciples. And disciples of Jesus are a tough group. They are more tough. Put it this way. We all have the impression, I'm a disciple of Jesus. Oh yeah. Let me tell you, the disciples of Jesus are more tougher than any SWAT team. Yes. They are tougher in the Bible. They are tougher Think how many SWAT team members would expose themselves to stoning, to dying, right? You know the difference. Sometimes you see the Westerners fight a war against the Middle Eastern. These Middle Easterns, they go out, they're willing to die. Tie the bomb next to them. Come here, they die. But the Westerners are afraid of dying here. You know, minimize our death. Although they have the advantage of technology, but if everyone is reduced to the same weapons, do you know that attitude will lose? The only advantage they have is because I believe, because they are on the side of justice, because of, in a sense, God being on that side. Not just the technological ones, that they're winning. But you strip every nation of all their weaponry and reduce everyone to bow, arrows, and sword. You know who will win the war? Those who are willing to go there and die. Not those who are avoiding death. Who knows, one of these days they may have a different SWAT team, right? But let me say, the other side has suicide teams, this side has no suicide teams. It's only the technological advantage in the weapons that are helping them. You reduce everyone to bare bones, the battle is completely lost. In the Bible, the people are willing to fight to the death. Some of you say, oh, New Testament is so nice. New Testament requires the same heroics as the Old. If you were in the Old, you would have to be a brave person in order to stand for God. Lots of opposition. In the New Testament, the disciple, we should sometimes replace the word disciples of Jesus with the word as a, we should be stronger than the SWAT teams for God. You're going out, you're doing something for God. And every one of us has a task that God sends us to. Or stronger and more determined than a Navy SEAL. You're going out there all prepared to die. So Jesus didn't come to make disciples. He came to make disciples. People who are willing to lay down their lives as He laid down our lives for us. The second thing they discover in their first missionary journey was their emotional, if I can say, limitations. Or you can call it a cultural limitation, but I call it emotional. Let's look at Acts chapter 14. Acts 13 and 14. In verse 5, Acts 13 verse 5, it says, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And then in Acts 14 verse 1, they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. And why do they go to this synagogue of the Jews? In other reference, in chapter 17 of Acts, verse 2, Acts 17 verse 2. Then Paul, as his custom was, went in to them for 3 Sabbaths, reasoned with them from the scriptures. In other words, he started off by reaching to the Jews in their synagogue. The Holy Spirit sent him, but his custom was. I repeat. The Holy Spirit sent him, but his custom was. Do you know the only reception he got in a synagogue? Boo! Now he has a few converts in there, but general reception? Boo! Jesus rise from the dead. Boo! Jesus is crucified for you. Boo! And they didn't actually say that in a synagogue. They went one step further. They opposed Paul. Persecuted. Look at all the opposition he received. Acts 13, Elymas was a Jew. Acts 14, who were the people who instigate the stoning. In verse 2, the unbelieving Jews. Look at verse 1. The Greeks believe. Verse 2, unbelieving Jews. As his custom was, because Paul was a Jew, he was accustomed to reaching the Jews first. But the only reception he had was rejection. And in Acts chapter 14, you know what they conclude at the end of the first missionary journey? Verse 27, in the Bible's own words. Verse 27. When they came back and they gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them and that he had opened the door of faith to who? To the Gentiles. Because the Jews oppose him, but the Gentile says, yes, yes, we want this. Yes, we want this. But as his custom was, in the second point in Paul's first missionary journey, he's realizing one thing now. His cultural limitations, his habits, his traditions, his customs that were limiting him. I put all these things into what I call emotional limitation. Why do I call emotional limitation? Emotional limitations are limitations that make no sense. It has no intellectual basis. It has no rational basis. For example, in South Africa, way in the days of apartheid, little black children and little white children play together nicely. But as they grow, they are schooled in different schools and they are taught, by the time they reach teenage years, they hate one another. We all know that in the Bible, in the book of Acts chapter 17, Paul says, God has made of one blood all men. So no matter what the color of our skin or the kind of features we have from our racial background, if anyone feels any inability to reach out to another one of a different culture or race, it is not rational. It's not even physiological or biologically based. It is emotionally based because we inherited or we took on ourselves the emotional barriers that our forefathers took on. Because little children who grow up without those things have no problem relating to one another. But it's adults, Jews hating Arabs, and whites and blacks always feeling, you know, the tension. It's all man-made. And I call it emotional barriers. Those barriers are not only racial. Those barriers can sometimes be customs. Things that you and I are used to. Those who grow up in a high-class society have a different kind of behavior from those who grow up with the working class. So there are these class differences too. And sometimes people will walk in the area that they are accustomed to. And then there are different modes of behavior. Now sometimes we are not used to people behaving in ways that we don't understand because that's never been the way we have been exposed to. And so our emotional limitation, which leads to sometimes emotional rationalization, which is inaccurate. And people try to justify their behavior. Paul began to feel in his first missionary journey the limitations of his own upbringing. He was a Jew, a full-blooded Jew, now working among the Gentiles. You know, you would think that of all Jews, he would be the one hardest to give up all his culture. After all, he was a Jew of the Jews. He was an expert. And guess what? He was one of those who gave it up easily versus Peter and James in the Bible. Because when they were eating, you know, some of us don't realize how much differences Gentiles and Jews have. Lots. And this is something that I sometimes